Welcome to Intrepid Scoundrels, an actual play podcast of the Scum and Villainy RPG. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM.
I'm John. I'll be playing Ezequiel De La Cruz, a rough-and-tumble scoundrel.
I'm Mark. I'm playing Duncan Brell, a.k.a. Game, your ship's mechanic.
I'm Scott. I'm playing Brylan Chencott, also called Bry or BC, a grizzled stitch.
I'm John R. I'm playing Wyndham Woosh Wu, the pilot of the Intrepid.
I'm Tim, and I'm playing Rail Card, the human mystic with a dark and mysterious past.
And now, on to the episode. And we're back with Intrepid Scoundrels. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Intrepid Scoundrels, Episode 1, The Blood of the Rancor. Picture the scrawl over the black there and the swirling John Williams music. The Empire has fallen. The galaxy still reels from the destruction of the second Death Star alongside the deaths of Emperor Palpatine and his apprentice Darth Vader. As the rebellion tracks down holdout Empire cells, planets in the Outer Rims deal with the lawlessness and rampant crime. In such a climate, groups of smugglers and scoundrels can make their fortunes if they can avoid the notice of the greedy Hutt cartels who look to control all illicit businesses everywhere. And we pan down from space to a planet, a planet of forests, a blue and green planet of oceans and forests, the sort of standard looking planet, as a ship sort of hoves into view, a VCX-100 light freighter, the Intrepid itself, comes into orbit. And as we we follow the ship down, we get a little chyron that says Ord Radana. The Intrepid passes over a few sort of large labyrinthine cities, but doesn't land in any of those sort of more traveled spaceports. It comes down in a far away sort of spot, a little bit of a dusty area where there is someone watching them land, standing next to a sort of a large hover truck that looks to be full of supplies. As the Intrepid touches down, the gangplank opens. Oh, let me bring you all to what your ship looks like. Here we go. On Foundry. This is the Intrepid. Oh. This is a VCX-100 light freighter.
Nice.
And it's the classic Star Wars kind of a shape that is a bit dirty, a bit dusty. Seen better days for sure, but it is obviously quite functional.
Nondescript, though. Doesn't stand out.
It definitely doesn't really stand out. Doesn't look flashy. Doesn't have any flashy colors on it. Just a sort of, a standard freighter. It could be carrying anything. As we touch down and the gangplank opens, who's the first out to meet your contact here on this particular planet?
Oh, well. I would... You know what? I don't know who else we have on the crew here like this. So these are all people I've just flown with not very often. And I'm going to go ahead and bound on down. I've talked with contacts before. I've done this kind of thing before. So
okay. So we see Ezequiel De La Cruz. Tell us a little bit more about what he looks like.
Yeah. So Ezequiel is 30-ish male, kind of brown skin, dark hair, dark eyes. Has a nice little handlebar mustache. Not something I could ever grow very well. he's not very finely dressed at all. I mean, he's kind of very nondescript, almost as if he wears clothing designed to blend in with a crowd more than to stand out from anyone. He does wear a hat, especially he's used to being on maybe more desert-like planets from some of the places he's been before. So he'll kind of shaded himself from the sun, and has a little bandana as well that he'll use to wipe his brow when it's hot. But here, this climate's a little bit more temperate than he's used to. So
it is a little more temperate. You're still like kind of scrub lands. There's some grass here and you know there, but you're basically kind of like about a clear mile or two out from the nearest city.
Of course,
this is where you're going to be meeting out, meeting your contact. Does anyone come out with Ezekiel here?
Oh, you can call me Zeke, by the way.
Zeke, fair enough.
Yeah.
I can come on out.
The rest of you staying. Okay.
Sure. I'll go. Duncan Brell, and he is human, a bit on the short side, 5'3", 5'4". Dark hair. Wears a long coat. Underneath it, shirt, cargo pants, and heavy tool belt around his waist. Lots of gadgets and tools and stuff like that hanging from that. Some sturdy boots. He's our mechanic.
Yeah, very good. A little bit of grease smudge on the face.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Sort of show that you're the mechanic. Just a couple yards away next to this truck, leaning a tall alien figure, a Devlik, who's a kind of a long-necked bird creature. Who all you know, y'all knows he's a fixer of yours, on this particular, especially from this planet. He's goes by the name of Zem Dinago. Zem Dinago. And I'll show everyone what this guy looks like.
Kind of
green fur hair, feathers kind of slicked back and almost like chest hair puffing out, coming up out of this sort of shift, this brown sort of leather shift that he's wearing. And he's got a tool belt and a couple little bit of gadgets. And he's nodding at you as you step out of the ship. And he says, Zeke.
Zem, yes, how are you doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit. Just in time, as always. I've got your cargo right here. And he's pats on the truck there. It's filled with crates. And he says, this is going to be a fairly normal standard run with a little bit of an extra bit of spice to it.
Oh, just
I've got a... Like. Yeah, just the kind you like. I got a load of quick meals here that need to go to... Wiaco City, on the planet, on that colony planet Wiaco. And he pulls off a tarp from the front of it, and there's a couple of smaller crates. Quick meals basically being just a bunch of ready to MREs essentially, and you've got maybe a good dozen or two crates of those that are clearly labeled. They look super legit. But when he pulls off the tarp there, there's two smaller crates. One, you could pick them up quite easily. Each of them filled with bottles that are filled with this deep red liquid, and they are essentially unlabeled bottles, but they kind of have the liquor bottle shape. Mm-hmm. And he's got proprietor there in Wiaco City. As looking to get these two crates of Rancor's blood. Rancor's blood being a highly potent and quite illicit alcohol. It's not actually made out of Rancor's blood, although maybe it is, you know. It's just kind of called that because it looks thick and red, and it makes you often, you know, when you drink it, maybe some say you get as angry as a Rancor. So
hold this one is up kind to the light, just kind of shake it a little bit, look at it.
Yeah, this is good vintage. just brewed last week. most of the time, you know, you leave it in the bottle too long, it might melt it. But, you know, you're going to take this to Ratchet's Saloon over there in Wiaco City and deliver that to Ratchet, and he'll give you your payment.
All right, okay. Ratchet. Make note of that.
So keep this part, and keep that in the old smuggling compartments.
Got it.
I got to tell you, there's been chatter on the radios that the Hutt... syndicates, the Hutt cartels are in that system, kind of poking their nose around. They don't seem like they're super interested in looking for they're looking on another planet, not even on Wiaco. But they might have a bit of a blockade that you're going to have to run to get to Wiaco.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely don't want to.
But once you're there, smooth sailing, I'm sure.
All right.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
you folks can handle it, I'm sure.
Excellent, excellent.
Right, and so he basically gives you like a pad to sort of like to take possession of the quick meals, sort of officially, you know, give you part of your crew, part of your ship's manifest.
That's like a legit cargo. Is that
That's super legit cargo. It's boring MREs, you know, practically flavorless. Mm-hmm. You know, hot, you know, maybe pour some water on them and get a little bit of pudding out of, you know, oatmeal out of it or whatever. Quick meals. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why you need the Rancor's blood.
Yeah. Wash that down. Wikiko is sort of a, you know, you kind of know it as a colony planet that has it's a backwater planet, right? It has the one kind of big city, Wikiko City. They're going to be difficult to keep those two apart, of course. Is the sort of main hub. It's a very Mos Eisley kind of place. It's, you know, and the planet itself, Wikiko itself, and you sort of can, you know, maybe pull this up on quite easily, is a bit of a desert planet. It's a bit of a hot planet with a lot of dry arid deserts around.
Mm-hmm.
So as you are you're loading up the crates of quick meals and the two little crates of Rancor's blood. Let's meet some of the rest of the crew. Tim, what's Rail doing?
Well, Rail during this came down the front gangplank and just kind of observed. He he's wearing sort of mercenary gear. He's got the jacket that has the epaulets, the armor on his shoulders, and then he has a chest plate in the front, and then he's got like some shin guards. So he's got kind of like a little bit of armor. It looks really crappy. Like, not necessarily that he's seen better. It's, you know, that he's seen action a lot, but it definitely doesn't, maybe secondhand at that point. His jacket also has a hood that he constantly wears up. Like, he doesn't want to be noticed. Yeah. But he watches and he's just intently observing Zim and looking around, kind of sort of doing his job. And then as soon as we start to get to the load up, he'll head out and help.
Pitch in on the moving up the crates. Yeah. I mean, you could notice that these are pretty standard crates, and it takes a little bit of time for you to basically load up the ship. Not too long with everyone sort of pitching in. Is there anything else you all want to do here on Ordra Dama, or we just want to go into hyperspace and head over to the next system?
Well, How we fix for supplies and repair? How, you know, do we need to do anything with our ship before we go out?
No. You let's say that you finished a job and, you know, got paid and had enough to keep the ship repaired, stock up the everything in the galley and whatnot. So you're you know, you're good to go, and it's going to be a quick hyperspace jump to the system that Wikiko is in. There's no trade lanes, obviously, so you're gonna have to probably do a couple little jumps, but, you know, you're already in the outer rim. It's not going to be much further, much more outer, to get to it.
Right.
Yeah, I think Bri would at least pop his head out the door and to wave at our contact here. Zem.
Sure, he gives you a little bit of a salute. Scott, what's Brylan look like?
Yeah, so Brylan, aka Bry or BC, whatever you want to call him, grizzled, probably late 30s, early 40s, some graying hair, tall and lanky, basically house without the limp.
All right, I can picture it.
He's definitely wearing like a sort of a field medic type getup. Got a med kit on him. It's pretty much all I've got fleshed out for him right now. But he does look somewhat, looks around again. Have we been to this I guess this is our contact. Yeah, we've been here before.
If you've contacted, okay. Zem is from this planet. But you've picked up stuff from him. He's basically your contact on this planet, and you've had some other fixtures.
Okay,
contacts so on other. You've been here once or twice before. Yeah,
cursory glance around just to make sure there's nothing unusual to learn from here. Almost a sort of trying to sense something, and then turns around and goes back into whatever task he was doing, which was keeping his med bay up. And
right, so we see we follow Bri following. He heads back to the med bay. He maybe fixes a couple bits of tools, and as the last bit of crates are loaded up, we move into the cockpit where we meet our pilot. John, why don't you describe Wyndham for us?
Wyndham Wu, our ace pilot. He stayed on the bridge this time in the cockpit, kind of keeping the ship ready for a quick turnaround in case things went south, as he's used to doing. He's a male, kind of young, jet black hair, kind of shaved on the sides and slick back on the top. He's got an oversized, really worn out spacer's uniform on, like holes in the knees, but he's pinned a couple of old captain's bars on the collar of it to signify to himself his pilot rank. But other than that, he's really just kind of dressed as a spacer, normal spacer might be. And he also wears kind of a gold ring that he always has on his left pinky finger.
Okay. Intriguing. Nice. As we get a good look at that as you're flipping the switches and pulling the levers to have the Intrepid blast off from the planet's surface. Maybe one or two of you take another seat in the cockpit. And you guys head into hyperspace, plotting the coordinates, astronav coordinates, and head into hyperspace to head over to the system that Weekico is in. Now, we're going to get into some rules bits here. The scum and villainy, Blades in the Dark system is this point where we kind of, you don't really do a ton of planning, but you do kind of pick an approach on how you're going to come to this seemingly quite normal delivery job that may have some complications in with the Hutt cartels watching over everything. From that, there'll be some sort of negotiation on whether or not this is a daring thing. Does it say, do your contacts help you or whatever, to make a die pool? And then I'll roll that die pool. Basically, the only time I'm going to roll some dice, essentially, to find out what your initial positioning is. Are you going to be in trouble right away, or is it smooth sailing until you get to the next obstacle, right? So, with that being said, as a group, do y'all think you are going for to make this sort of essentially delivery to sneak some stuff past the huts? Are you going to do an assault plan, deception, infiltration, mystical type plan, a social plan, or just straight up just take a transport? Or just transport it, basically, the sort of basic sort of situation. Deception is for luring and tricking and that kind of thing. Infiltration is for being a little more sneaky. That tells those two apart. Mystical is in any way you might have to be using the force for something that might come up in handy later. But those are the sort of six options that you basically choose from. And with that, we sort of ask a question about what that is. If you were to pick assault, you're like, where are you making your main attack? And then that's where we can sort of move the fiction towards. So what do y'all think?
I'm thinking deception, kind of based on what our ship is good at.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, or infiltration.
Either of those. So
expand on what the difference is between a deception and infiltration.
It's mostly narrative. It's essentially sort of like, are you going in like, deception is a little bit like, we're going to go into this casino and pretend to be a bunch of high rollers. Infiltration is, we're going to sneak into the casino and break into the vault that way, right? Yeah. These can be a bit fluid. Any one of these can turn into any one of the other ones because of the way the roles go and the way the narrative goes. This is just to sort of give us a nice sort of a grasp on what's going on, and to remember too, also at any point in time during all of this, you can call for a flashback and say, "Oh, I planned for this because I XYZ."
Sounds like deception is a little more out in the open.
A little bit, yes. I would say it's a little more guile than it is stealth.
You're
Yeah.
You're not trying to slip past them. You're trying to talk your way past them.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe we have legit cargo. We have legit manifest for the cargo. We have
exactly
hidden smuggling compartments for those other things.
They're registered, though. Okay. We registered them somewhere.
Or set up to deceive.
Registered your smuggling compartments?
Yes.
Yes. With the Smugglers Union, of course. You have to register. They have to know at all times. Okay.
We never sent it in because, you know.
You fill in the paperwork and then just put it into the compartment.
Yeah,
it's never be seen again.
Right,
yeah, terrific. So the plan is just kind of like essentially sort of like anyone ask you, like, no, we're transporting legal goods to this legal proprietor, right? That's the option. Okay, great.
Yes.
So yeah, that is basically a kind of a deception. And the deception is to be, hey, look, we've got legal stuff, and you've got some mm-hmm. false papers to say that your ship is, you know, not called the Intrepid or some other name or whatever. All right, let's talk about any advantages and disadvantage you might have. Is this operation particularly bold or daring, or is it overly complex? I think it's neither of those things. So you're sort of straight down the middle there. Does this have a detail that exposes a vulnerability of the target? These will be making a lot more sense when we get into more complex plans, I think. Mm-hmm. Or are they strong against this approach? Any particular defenses? Again, I think that's a wash. And feel free to, you know, argue one way or the other, if you'd like. Is there anything that's sort of giving you aid? I think your false ship papers are giving you an mm-hmm. extra die to this, and there are no currently, as far as you know, any enemies or rivals that know about this that are going to interfere with you. So that's basically an additional plus one. You know, there's nothing, any other elements we want to consider? Not so much. So this is going to be, and you get one die to start with, and then each of those sort of things either might add a die or take away.
And I have serendipitous. So it says our crew starts with a plus one gambit when the pool resets. Great.
Yes. So this is the beginning of the job. You would normally start with two gambits. Now you have three because you have a very lucky individual. The other thing, before I make this engagement roll, is I need everyone to decide what their loadout is going to be for this particular job. Are you going full bear with everything you can carry, or are you going more light? You don't have to specify exactly what's in that load. You just have to pick light, medium, or heavy.
Okay.
And mark that on your character sheet for this.
Yeah, I'm going to go light.
And this sort of gives you sort of a cap on how many things you can sort of have, pull out of nowhere, during the mission, things that you have in your gear, basically.
Right. And that would include something like a med kit for me?
I believe so. Let me look at your stuff again. And items that you might have. Yeah, med kits. Specifically, though, I should say that, you know, that note that the med kit is worth two load. So if you go light load, that's kind of everything that you could have. So you wouldn't have a blaster or anything like that. It's not everything. Sorry, light load is three. You could have a med kit and a blaster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but right, med kit I'm is just a big, looking big at, chunk of things,
yeah. at, you know, is that something that I would take with me on every time that we exit the ship?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and is it, or is it something that's like for more serious things?
Because you're a Stitch, you're going to have this ability to doctor anyone kind of anywhere. The med kit kind of gives you a little more narrative positioning to be like,
okay,
oh, this is really bad. I've got gauze. I've got this. I've got the forceps. Okay. I can really do surgery. Whether if you're trying to do that without the med kit. Yeah, yeah. Basically, you know, you can rip a uniform and patch someone up really quick, right? But if there's something really bad and you decide you don't have that, your positioning is going to be worse than it would be if you did have it, right?
Sure. But it's something that it sounds like I would have to then, if a situation comes up, as long as I haven't used any of the,
right.
up to two of them, I would have brought it.
Okay. Exactly. You had it. So you don't have to say you have that specifically, but if you say you have a light load and that could have been the med kit all along.
Right.
Or you could go on a normal load and have more stuff.
Yeah.
Normal load is like, light load is definitely like people look at you and go, that's just someone walking around. A medium load is like, that guy might be up to something. Heavy load is that guy's definitely up to something.
Okay.
So medium is not going to raise too many eyebrows, especially out here on the outer rim. Right.
So
well, yeah.
If we're looking under like under my character, I have some items that are zero load.
Yes.
So I can just have all those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. You know, again, if you won't need them for anything and they give you any sort of narrative help, then you have them. You know, yeah. I think a few people might have other things that, like, nicer clothing is zero load. You know, you just look a little nicer.
All right.
All right. Has everyone chosen their loadout?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Roll 2d6 here and then look at you, find out what your sort of starting position. Again, this is the same sort of thing. 6 is very good. 4 and 5 is medium. 1, 2, and 3 as the highest number is bad. 2 4s. So what that means is you're in a position that is. You didn't sail past the huts, let's just say, basically, right? So you start off in a risky position. Well, whatever the first roll is going to be it from a risky position instead of a controlled or a desperate position. So it's pretty average. So the Intrepid comes out of hyperspace in the same system, sort of maybe probably several planets away from Wikico. You can, immediately you're hailed by what looks to be a couple sort of large hut cartel. They're not quite destroyers. They're just kind of big, bulky, even maybe heavy freighters themselves, right? It seems like, you know, they're also, they seem to be focused a little more, you know, there's some other ones, some other smaller ships focused around a different planet with a couple moons, whereas then you know that you're going to one that's this desert planet a couple planets over. But you get hailed. There is, just sort of like, comes in over there, ship, identify yourself and what you're doing here in this here system.
Roger that, hut vessel out there. I think that's what you are out there. This is the Intrepid. We're, got a cargo here of, quick meals going over to Wikico there. Just kind of a usual casual run.
flying very casually. All right, let's have the first roll that you're going to make of the sesh here, John. Okay. You want to convince this guy. So basically, what we've got here now, invisibly, not that you don't see, there is a clock ticking down. Essentially, it is the sort of like huts are suspicious of you clock. It's got 6 segments, and when that fills up, something else is going to happen. But for you, I need you to make some sort of role to sort of, present yourself as being.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna try to obviously convince them that we're legit. Kind of saying, this is a kind of routine run that we make here out here in the planet. They got to get their food here. There's not much growing out there in the desert. So regular supply run. We've been here before. I thought I'd talk to you. It must be somebody who sounds a lot like you. So right, I will attempt to sway.
All right. Let's do it. So you're in a risky position, and you have, I would say, standard effect for this. So it's a pretty straight down the barrel roll there.
Okay. So if we have this is not where we need to use a gambit, like to get an extra die or anything.
You could use a gambit if you wanted to, right? So let's talk about all the ways you have two. What do you have sway? What do you have in sway? Two dice?
Two already? Dice, yeah.
You have two dice. You're going to be rolling two to take the better of the two. You could spend 2 stress to push yourself and get an extra die. I wouldn't recommend it at this early stage.
Yeah.
Someone else could help you, spending a stress and giving you an extra die. It might be worth it. A gambit, if you spent a gambit, you would get an extra die. Could also, if you really wanted to, maybe it's too early for a devil's bargain on this case. We can play with that a little bit later because it's a pretty basic roll. But other than that, remember, if you don't spend a gambit on a roll and you get a 6 as a success, you earn a gambit.
Okay.
So there's maybe a reason not to spend a gambit because you want to earn some more.
All right. Have a lunch. I'm feeling pretty confident in this. I'll just click on my sway and see how that works then.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Just roll.
There it is. 5 and 6. That. Very nice.
You got a 6. And so you've earned a gambit. And also just sort of like, all right. It's clear that whoever this is barely paying attention to what you're saying and just going to hear like, all right, Dan, well, move along then. No reason to dawdle.
All right. And, right now, sir. Thank you. See you next time.
You coast by as they, as you said, maybe they don't even bother to scan you. They just sort of clearly take you at your word. And you get into orbit around Weikiko, big yellow ball of a planet, clearly desert. And you come down to, break down orbit, get landing clearance to land it in Weikiko City.
All right.
You come down to the normal spaceport. It's a small spaceport, not a ton of ships flying and leaving and coming, but there's a couple. And you get the normal sort of a couple repair droids, maintenance droids sort of hop out and are like spraying down your ship with a little bit of water, mm-hmm. trying to get some of the dust off it and stuff like that. Those sort of, those sort of like bucket headed kind of mm-hmm. maintenance droids. Mm-hmm. But as you come out, again, it's sort of picture a very to say it's bustling is probably overdoing a little bit, but there are people here wandering about. It's got that sort of Mos Eisley vibe. Lots of different aliens, lots of different people, different clothes, lots of people kind of got that kind of desert protection headgear, a big scarf around their heads, right. And whatnot, right?
Yep, yep.
Big hats, yeah, yeah. And whatnot. It's got that Mos Eisley vibe. It's got a vague Wild West vibe to it as well. Classic Mandalorian stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You do see on the corner there, sort of near the heart of the city, a place called Ratchet's Saloon. And mm-hmm. it's got a bit of foot traffic coming in and out.
Mm-hmm. So we have to deliver these quick meals someplace else, not to Ratchet's, I presume.
Yeah, the quick meals are sort of delivered to the city. So that you can sort of take care of that, unless you don't want to, but you kind of like can take care of that pretty standardly. There's a, the harbor master essentially is expecting them. He takes your manifest and he has these maintenance droids beginning unloading the quick meals, mm-hmm. and they're going to get distributed to the town.
Excellent.
And they call this place is called Weikiko City, but it's almost not really a full city. It's not like a huge metropolis for sure.
Sounded better than Weikiko Town.
Exactly. Yeah. It's got the aspirations of grandeur that haven't paid out in the probably like decades this settlement has been here.
Yeah.
Everything is, you can tell too, everything's a little dingy, a little mm-hmm. dusty.
More of a weird co-op.
Well, let's head over to the saloon then.
So are we going to leave the stuff here and check in? Or are we going to take it with us? Or are we going to...
Yeah. What's the plan?
Yeah, these are smaller boxes. And so it's not an easy way to carry them without people knowing we're carrying stuff.
Yeah, I think we should check in first.
All right.
Mm. Yeah, probably don't want to be stuck with this kind of cargo for too long.
Mm-hmm. Then maybe he has a way, the owner has a way of us bringing them later, or here, put them in this and bring them to me this way.
You definitely know.
Unless we have a container or something that looks more like something else, we can put them inside of there.
Sadly, none of us are droids.
Yes.
Two crates, maybe you could have them on like a hover dolly with some cloth draped over it, a tarp draped over it so that it's not clear that they're bottles of alcohol. But it also kind of doesn't look like, the harbor master isn't necessarily paying a lot of attention to what you're doing, and it doesn't, you get the vibe that like if you just were carrying two crates of alcohol through the city, it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't get a lot of eyeballs on you, but
still we'd want to make sure the context there and sure, they may have a better,
it makes sense. If you want
a better lay
leave
of,
them in. Yeah.
Of the of the area and sort of a better route if we need to bring something in.
Yep.
You want to leave them in the smuggling compartment? That's great. So
yeah, let's make
you,
sure to secure the ship really well too.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's always the case. Once the maybe wait until the droids are done unloading the quick meals and then you lock everything up real mm-hmm. tight. So the five of you head out into town and head into the saloon.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Surely. Sure.
Yeah.
Can I say that's always what bothers me about every Star Wars show is that they just leave their ship just unattended Like, you think they at least have a fob or something. Boop, boop.
How else are the heroes going to steal it?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And since we're not.
It's a... You don't necessarily, I mean, it's always a case of like, too, if you take off without clearance, you might crash into another spaceship. So there's always like, you know, someone's got to say something to take off. But anyway, mm-hmm. you, again, and it's the classic scene where you're about to step into the saloon when someone is basically bodily thrown out onto the street in front of you. A kind of a weedy looking fellow just sort of hits the dirt and dusts himself off and kind of moseys out into the crowd.
I do a quick medical assessment mentally.
Yeah, I mean, he scraped himself up, probably nothing too harsh.
And the cause of being thrown out.
Oh, clearly someone threw, like literally physically threw him out.
So it's not the gravity. Okay, I just want to make sure that we weren't dealing with gravity issues.
It is a fairly, standard gravity, standard atmo kind of planet. You head inside?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Should we throw each other inside? Is that the standard egress?
No, that's for leaving.
That's
only for leaving, yeah. It's clear as you step inside, it's clear who threw this fella out. There is a hulking ape-like creature standing near the front door and giving you some eyeballs. I would like to point out that I found the fact that there is, you're all familiar with Salacious Crumb, right? A monkey ape. A monkey lizard, right? Salacious Crumb. He's a Kowakian monkey lizard. Well, there's a such thing as a Kowakian ape lizard, which basically looks like a Salacious Crumb on steroids.
Wow, oh my God!
So this eating big guy,
Sweeties.
Sort of, yeah, he's definitely been eating his Wheaties. He's got that sort of the beak face, beak with the floppy ears and greenish kind of grayish kind of lizardy kind of skin, but these hulking huge forearms that are just dragging,
real knuckle dragger,
dragging, basically close to the ground, tail and a kind of a bit of a mohawk, and he's just kind of standing there giving watching you as you walk in.
Good. He doesn't have the high-pitched laugh. That's good.
So Bri looks at him and says, "Nice work there."
Just kind of grunts at you.
I'm guessing this is the bouncer.
Yeah.
Yep. Seems that way.
Yeah, he did bounce a little, didn't he?
That guy did bounce, did do at least one or two bounces. Inside the saloon, there's people, there's drinking, there's some sort of synth-like music playing over the speakers, and there's a bar, right, just a standard sort of bar-looking situation.
Any games of chance?
It looks like there might be a game of chance or two to be had. People are playing probably some Sabacc in the corner. There looks like a kind of an unofficial game. It's not like necessarily a fancy house Sabacc. It's just sort of a friendly game of Sabacc.
Okay. Duncan is interested, but we've got business.
Fair enough.
To do first.
And everyone's kind of having their drinks. They're clearly alcoholic drinks, and it's kind of a dive of a place. It's again, everything a little bit dingy, a little bit mixes of metals and woods. The bar though is a fine metal bar, and there are a couple stools there, and there's a couple a shelf of drinks behind the bar.
Yeah, why don't you all grab a table over there, and I'll grab around for us. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Go lurk on the corner.
All right. Go find a table.
I am wondering.
Yeah,
this is such a crap hole. If how he can afford this booze, just curious, and I express that to the rest of the group. Curious how this is such a dive, and we're delivering some of the best.
Don't judge everything by its cover. I'll just say that.
One thing that you did notice there, Rael, probably is also tweaking, is that on the outside it did, you know, there was a kind of a neon electrical, you know, a neon type sign that said Ratchet Saloon, but someone had essentially turned off the first half of the name, and so it just says Rat Saloon.
Great.
Zeke, you head up to the bar?
Yeah, I'll what type of bar keep situation do we have here? Just one person there? They have servers?
Yeah, what's going on? There's just one fellow there. Actually, no, it's one there's one lady behind the bar working the entire thing. A red skinned Twi'lek lady.
All right. I'll
what can I get
head
you?
Over there. What?
She's just sort of, you know, what can I get you?
We got a round of something that's not too awful and not too expensive.
All right. Well, how about some rot gut?
I don't know. How's that on the awful scale?
It ain't too awful.
All right. That'll do. While you're pouring that, where's the owner of this establishment, this rat, it looks like, up there from the sign?
She laughs as she's pouring you some glasses. And the way she does it is quite sloppily.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be, yeah. She's just kind of splashing its uneven amounts in the glasses, not caring that she's getting it all over the bar. You know, she puts the bottle back on the shelf and says, you're probably new. Y'all hadn't heard of the under new management.
Oh, no, I didn't. We just got in town.
Oh, well, seems that, Mr. Ratchet was having some troubles and, well, let's just say he got bought out.
Oh, I see. Very cool. That happens. You know, I've been lots of places where things have changed, you know. All right. Well, appreciate that. And I'll hand over what I think is an appropriate number of credits.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And just kind of, you know, grab glasses on hands and kind of bring them over to the table and we'll drink and discuss.
Fair enough.
What's the story?
Yeah. So, appears that Ratchet's not here. Something's happened and he's been kicked on out and somebody else has taken over. And not sure if any previous dealings will be honored by this.
Wait, that wasn't him getting thrown out, was it?
I think that the barkeep might have pointed that out.
I may not have said this out loud, but Zem would have told you that Ratchet is a droid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Trust us.
So who's Rat? You know, the name of the on the sign outside. If Ratchet's gone.
That may just be them changing the name cheaply. It doesn't have to be a rat. Could be just a rat hole, which is...
Well, when I asked where Rat was, they mentioned Ratchet, so I don't think that's necessarily a play on words.
Hmm. Oh, I just thought it was a dive and the sign was broken.
Yes, I think that may be the case.
I thought it was under new ownership.
It appears to be so.
Do we think it's the huts?
Well,
they're blockading. Why wouldn't they make a move?
From kind of the attitude here and everything, I wouldn't be surprised if it was them.
Yep.
So I've
The way you described it, new management got bought out, but it sounds like
the huts. They may not appreciate her having smuggled this in the first place.
Well, I actually think that they would, but I don't think they would appreciate it by paying us. They'd be happy to have the delivery.
Yeah.
True.
They would appreciate the free gift.
Yes. So that's my concern at this point.
Yeah. We can't fulfill the contract with the new owner. We don't have a contract with this owner.
Yes, you are correct.
So we find a new buyer.
Or well, the old one and find out what happened. Deliver it to him. I mean, that was the thing. We were supposed to deliver it to that person.
True. And
it's pretty clear that they wouldn't serve that stuff up here. So I suspect that Ratchet's got another game going somewhere else. You're right. And maybe that's what got them in trouble. I don't know. But I would suspect maybe that's the first thing, is maybe trying to track down Ratchet.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, is there a way you'd like to try to do this? Asking around? Concocting some sort of a droid finding device? Something like that?
Ask the bartender.
No, I already asked the bartender. I don't think that's going to be a good place to go.
Do we have any other contacts here?
Well, if we look around, is it look like, so my, prior to this gig, I happened to work for an organization not unlike the Hutt organization. Perhaps it was even a competitor that maybe ran afoul of them, let's say. As I look around here, do I see anything that would make me believe that primarily these were folks working for the Hutts in here, or that maybe we have some regulars from Wiaco City itself?
You think it seems to be a lot of regulars. It just a sort of a lot of regular folk who, from around these parts, dusty clothing. You get this, there's probably some moisture farms out in the desert, a little bit ways out that most people do their working at. And they come into town to drink.
All right. So I suspect maybe we could ask around a little bit here.
Okay.
Well, that sounds like a little bit of a consort. And if anyone is wants to try that, they certainly can. Or any other ways to chat with people that you want to float, I'm open.
Okay. Well, I've got a little bit of consort. Is anybody else good at that? Or
I have a little bit as well.
Yeah.
No, though I can fake it by pushing myself. And pushing yourself is what? Taking a stress?
You take two stress when you push yourself. When you push yourself. For one die, yeah.
Is that pretty much how you could do it untrained? Is
by pushing. Essentially, yeah. You push yourself. I mean, you can always try everything, anything. If you're doing it without any dots in the scale, you're rolling two dice and taking the lower of the two as your best die. But if you push yourself, you get one die, and then that makes it a 50-50 chance, essentially, right? So,
but I can use my doctor if I push myself.
That's true. If you push yourself, you can use doctor instead, yeah.
Come up with a bedside manner.
Or basically knowing a trick to replace consort with.
Well, maybe instead, rather than consort, maybe we could go casually listen about. If this is a real recent kind of thing, maybe somebody's talking about this situation.
It's kind of what I was thinking. Maybe there's a little skull gossiping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little skull to listen in on some eavesdrops.
They may not confide in strangers in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that might be better.
Unless we get somebody who's been drinking a lot. That's the other thing. And which would also be good for conversations, too.
I could try to join that Sabacc game and see if anyone there is talking.
Yeah.
You're just determined. I see what you're thinking there. You're determined to get a little
entertainment in. Try to, I have some skulking, and Duncan, you're good at skulking?
I am, yes.
And a couple have a point in it?
Yep, I have skulking.
I'm a
skulker.
Skulk away. All right, so who wants to, Mark, why don't we start with you? You want to kind of go over there to the Sabacc game and listen in on other conversations, listen in to what they're, and just quietly play while they're chatting with each other and drinking.
Yeah, see what kind of conversations happening on. I could maybe steer it a little bit towards what happened to the owner.
Okay.
See if any of these guys are regulars, they might know what's going on.
All right. Yeah. I think for this, it's a pretty controlled setup. You're in a controlled environment here. You're not trying too much. That's, you know, if you basically a controlled role means if you fail, you can kind of take a different tack. Risky one is like, oh, you might actually get hurt or something. So it's controlled, but I would say standard effect. You can give me that role. As you get dealt in, you know, and I believe Sabak is a little blackjacky, so there's kind of a dealer. You know, you're just kind of playing, and you're just kind of like, yeah, what's going on? What's the news? I'm new in town.
So this will be a consort role?
Yeah, you can give me a consort role. Now, I guess. If you're going to try to steal the conversation, it would be more of a consort hanging out. If you're just there quietly listening and not trying to stir things up, it would be Skulk, I think. Just sort of fiction-wise, that's how that's going to look.
Skulk is definitely better, so let's go ahead and go with that.
Okay, so you're just going to quietly kind of
listen
in and see if anyone happens to say anything.
Okay, well, here we go. Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
Double
one. That ain't good.
No, it's not.
Because luckily, this was, again, a controlled role. So essentially what happens is you kind of sit down there for a while and realize that these guys are just really interested in playing Sabak and not really interested about chatting about gossip of the town. So you can just kind of, you know, to kind of like not push it and back off. And there'll be essentially kind of no repercussions for rolling that poorly.
Thank goodness.
There is the embarrassment, though.
Yeah,
you're just kind of like wasting time more than anything.
Uh-huh. No, I'm still getting some gambling in, so I'm still happy.
You get some gambling in, you're happy with it. Yeah, maybe, you know, I think, though, if you, you know, maybe push it too much, you end up losing a couple of credit, you know, losing a little bit of money. I'm trying to get to my thing where it has all the good stuff in the book. There it is. That's not the roll. There's a good chart in the book. There it is. Perfect. Controlled. You could. Okay. This is the other thing you could do. You could withdraw and try something else, or you could try again, but now it is risky.
What are the odds?
I mean, you're in a gambling game, right? Already.
Yeah.
And you've lost. What does that teach you? Nothing.
Double down.
Teach you double down. That's right.
All right.
What would that teach you? Uh-huh.
All right. Okay.
Three and two.
Risk.
I'm a gambler. You got into this gambling game and you got over your head. So I am going to, you're actually going to suffer harm from this now that I can pay risky. But that harm is like you lost too much money, right? You what's it called when you're over your head in stakes? You're underwater. Maybe even a little bit of debt.
Overextended.
Yeah, overextended your money. So you put that down as level one harm. Your sheet.
How does that work
on
the
sheet? Just kind of click on the box that has a one on it and type something in. Just type whatever works. Just type it in. So we know that we have that. And that's going to affect you. And next time anything money related happens, you're going to have to turn out your pockets and a little moth is going to fly out. all right.
But he's used to that.
Yeah. But you don't get, and also you don't get any good information.
Nope.
John, do we want to head over to you? Does anyone else want to try something along at the same time? Kind of this is happening.
I'll do Skulk. I'm just going to sit there, be nondescript, as I usually am, and just listen intently.
All right. Sounds good. Again, this for you is controlled standard.
Controlled
standard. I haven't yet started to get things in a risky position.
Oh, God.
Wow, another one.
It is too loud in here.
It's very loud. All right. Again, do you want to withdraw or do you want to press on and sort of like, you know, lean in and basically kind of leaning in on someone's conversation and where they might notice you? Meaning you can do this again, but it's risky.
Sure. Why not?
Okay, before you make this roll, I want to remind you too that mm-hmm. you can spend a gambit to get an extra die. You can. Is this a good time for a devil's bargain?
I don't think
get
we
information.
Need.
No, I don't we think
have
we need that.
Gambits.
You have gambits. Gambits. You need now, four right? gambits. Yeah, exactly. So if you want to do that, you can.
Why don't you hold off? Let's everybody okay. try. It's all controlled. Okay. Right? Like, yeah, we have other people.
For the first time, yeah. At this point, because yeah. you guys yeah, are in town and just sort of, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I will, I'll try to skulk about some.
Okay.
As well. In C. And if I roll two ones, I'll be really upset.
No. Four is a high one, though.
Yeah. Four is a high one. It is a, All right. So maybe you could go up to the bar so often to get a couple more drinks over the next couple hours or so as the sun begins to go down and more people begin to come into the saloon. And you're at the point where you are at the bar when there's another individual comes out from basically some back offices, essentially, you know, the back behind the bar sort of area. It is a mean looking Trandoshan. I keep clicking the wrong thing to show you guys the art. Mean looking, but also dressed very nicely. Almost one would say sort of a fancy suit or best at worst a fancy tracksuit. And it is clear, you know, you've done enough dealing with these types of people, Zeke, that you can reckon. He's got some, you know, that necklace that I showed on that arb, a little bit of sort of like gold necklace, has some indication that he's clearly not quite, obviously not a hut, but definitely like a made man in the hut cartels, right? He's a quote unquote legitimate businessman. Mm-hmm. He is comes out and he kind of looks around over the bar, you know, and is kind of nodding and seeing the business begin to pick up, and the Twi'lek bartender does sort of like acknowledge him, and then he kind of like takes his hand and kind of like does a thing where he might be like he's sweating, so he takes a bit of a handkerchief and kind of dabs down on his, even though he's a lizard, he's not really sweating, but he's kind of dabbing his head down. And you hear him say, to the Twi'lek bartender, that droid just won't shut up no matter how much I take him apart. So I think that's for you, you know, reduced effect. You're getting a little bit of information, but not a ton.
All right. And he clearly came out of the back room there.
Yeah, he clearly came out of the back room. And after a few minutes, he gets a drink from the bartender. He's still behind the bar when he's doing this. He gets a quick drink. He slugs it down and he kind of has this sort of like, well, back to it kind of attitude. Heads back into the back. And it was like, he didn't like yell it, obviously. He kind of like said it not quite under his breath, but just a sort of a confidential kind of tone to the bartender.
Mm-hmm. How do the patrons react when he comes out?
A couple of them, you know, kind of look up and look a little bit like, look up, do that thing where they look up and then immediately look down another drink. There's an aura of fear with most of them.
All right. So I'll regroup back at the table with our buds and kind of explain what I think's going on is that looks like the huts have taken control of this establishment, and our contact is in the back room being disassembled. Ooh. While saying no disassemble very loudly.
Mm-hmm.
So we have found number five then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just bust in there and save them.
Well, have we seen much of the hut crew out here besides the barkeep and this person?
You've seen the barkeep. You've seen The bouncer. And it's pretty sure that the bouncer, like, maybe gives a, you know, the Trandoshan kind of gives him a bit of a head nod as he goes to leave, mm-hmm. and the bar there just kind of folds, yeah, folds
that,
his arm
that
and kind of nods.
Bouncer is going to be the problematic one.
I do not want to scrap with him.
Yeah, we don't have any muscle with us now, so
that's right.
Well, all right. Well, maybe this establishes it's not that big.
No.
Maybe we can scout around outside and see if there's another way in or
yeah, I like access, that idea.
Window or roof access.
One or more of you kind of poke your head out and kind of maybe mm-hmm. circle the building real quick. And you can see pretty clearly that there is like, you know, the main bar kind of has kind of two stories, kind of was kind of tall ceilinged, but and then in the back there's like clearly a maybe apartments or something on the second floor, and there is a probably, and you imagine there's probably like a staircase inside, but there's also one on the back outside, basically in sort of an alleyway, a sort of a set of metal stairs that leads up to a back door, and as the sun has kind of completely gone down, and maybe a couple in the seconds before some of the lights come on in the street, you see kind of a blue flashing in that back window, just a real brief, almost like a spark or a small lightning bolt kind of flashing in that mm-hmm. in that back window, and it briefly silhouetting a you know, figure that's probably a Trandoshan, and figure that is most likely some parts of a bartending droid, a kind of a, you know, cylindrical metal head and a multi-armed body. Think with that, we'll pick it up in the next episode and see if you can't rescue Ratchet from the hands of this Trandoshan mafia guy.
Okay.
If that's your plan. All right.